I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 15. The first thing I do is have the wrong verse on the handout. It's Numbers chapter 15. Numbers is the book just before Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy and hang a left, and you'll be at Numbers. Numbers chapter 15, I'll start reading in verse 37. Is anybody else but me warm? How about we just circulate some air? It's nice outside, so maybe an open window in the back or something might do the trick for us if we just turn the fans on. Numbers chapter 15, let me start reading at verse 37. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on," here it's called the corners of their garments. Please, if you write in your Bibles or if you know, that's the word hem. We would consider that to be the hem of the garment. "To make tassels on the hem of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the hem. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. For I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." A lot of times when we read through the Bible, especially when it's in the Old Testament, we read these things and don't have a real good understanding of what we're talking about, of exactly why they dressed or what the dress looked like or how these things fit. And in this particular case, I think it's a real interesting study to learn how the Lord would use things that the Israelites could see to remind them about the things they couldn't see. In a sense, and by, I don't mean that the Israelites are any more childish than we are, but the Bible says that many of these laws were teaching Israel the same way as we would teach a child. We show children outward things because they can't understand abstract things. When I was taught to pray, I was taught to fold my hands together and to close my eyes and pray. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. As you get older, though, you understand that you pray in many different positions in many different ways. But children need to have something just a little bit more concrete to look at to remind them to pray. Well, God would do these things for Israel. And what I want to do is to work you through this little worksheet I put here and talk about what are these tassels and what's their significance and what actually is going on here. Notice it says in verse 38, in my New King James, it says, "to make tassels on the corners of their garments." Well, when you wear a skirt, it doesn't normally have what you would consider corners. Everybody wore skirts in those days. We talked about that last week, making that commandment that, you know, a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing, especially difficult to apply to the issue of wearing skirts. But they did have a hem to the edge of the garment. And that's something that had a real significance in the biblical times, and something I think that we can learn from. In a moment, we'll talk about the biblical examples, but let me first talk about the ancient Near East and the hem of the garment. The hem was the part of the garment that indicated your authority, that indicated your status, and we'll deal a little bit more with that in a moment. We today would, where would we indicate our status? If you have something that is special and it indicates your status, where do we put it today? On a garment. On the lapel, which is the hem of your jacket, right? If you do like that, we put it. I don't care whether it's a badge. I don't care if you've won an award, for instance. If Congress gives you an award, you weave it through there. At a wedding, the little flowers that you wear, you put up there to indicate, you know, you give them to the ushers or you do whatever. And we put things up here to indicate status. Well, in those days, they put them on the hem. And it's kind of interesting that the hem itself was a symbol of that person's authority, of their rank. In Babylon, when you signed a document, okay, you didn't, most people were illiterate in Babylon because their writing system was just too difficult to be able to use at all unless you had many, many years of training. So how did you sign your personal name? What you would do is take the hem of your garment and press it into the wet clay. So we actually have documents that have all kinds of seals, and each scribe would have his own seal. But a person, when we would like to put a thumbprint down, they would take the hem of their garment and actually press it into the clay. This significance of the hem of the garment, there's a couple of biblical stories that maybe you'll understand a little bit better. Remember the story about when Saul sneaks into a cave to go to the bathroom? And David's already hiding in the cave with his men? And what does David do? David decides, I am going to go up and I'm going to prove to Saul that he's not the great stuff he thinks he is. So he sneaks up and he cuts off, it says, a piece of the hem of his garment. He's actually cutting off one of these tassels. And he's cutting that hem of the garment off. And then it says afterwards that act, it says it smote David in his heart and he felt bad. Well, why would David feel bad about that? Well, it's because the hem of the garment was that place that indicated his authority. And what he was doing by cutting off that hem was actually a slap in the face of Saul's authority, saying, look what I got here. I took that thing that indicated your authority. And so cutting off the hem was significant. Come to the New Testament. Jesus is walking through a crowd. There's a woman who's had a flow of blood for 17 years and hasn't been healed. And so she wants to touch Jesus, but she doesn't touch Jesus. She comes through the crowd, and what does she touch? The hem of his garment. The tassel on the edge of his garment is what she's touching. And it says, the New Testament has a curious way of saying, he felt the virtue flow out of him. But that was the place of authority, and that's what she touched on purpose. And by the way, that is not easy to touch there. That hem of the garment. It's not like you grab somebody by the shoulder, right? But when the hem's down here, and men would wear, usually men's skirts would come down a little farther. I don't know if they're A-line or whatever, but they kind of came down to here. So she was actually making an effort to touch the hem. See what I'm saying? That wouldn't be the normal place where you would touch, especially in a crowd. And so the hem of the garment has that kind of significance in the Bible. It's the place that shows authority. It's the place that shows status on a garment. Point number two, okay, then what's the significance of having fancy tassels on the hem? We'll talk about why these tassels are fancy. Why would God tell Israel, and what's the significance of that? Well, let's start out by looking. A&E means ancient Near East, all right? Let's take a look. Look at the second page that I've given you, the tan-colored page. These are one of the ways that we know, and one of the best sources of knowing about how people dressed in those days aren't from literary sources, they're from tombs. And that's how archaeologists many, many times find out how people live. You look at the paintings on the walls of tombs. In Assyria, you actually look at where they would carve things on the walls. And these are quite typical. And what you're seeing here is kind of interesting. Notice that there is a border, a hem to the garment that is spelled out, that is actually lined out. And notice those tassels on the edges of the corners. Now, these are Egyptian garments right here, but we see the same thing when the Egyptians would draw pictures of themselves. They would draw pictures of foreigners. So one of the best ways of knowing how many, many people looked in the ancient Near East is to look at Egyptian tomb paintings, because they not only drew themselves, they drew others. And what's interesting is you can tell the difference in people's status by the kind of garments they wore. When they have tassels on the corners of their garments, they're aristocracy. They're the elite. They're the ones who get to wear the tassels. You see, in today's society, you can pretty much wear what you want or what you can afford. Okay, whether you shop in Paris or Jacques Penney, wherever you choose, that's JCPenney, wherever you choose to shop, that may tell something about your status. But if you've got enough money, you can wear what you want. It wasn't true in ancient times. You could only wear things that were fitted for your status. And anybody who wore anything that didn't fit their status, they were in big trouble. You would have been put in your place very, very quickly. And we know from these tomb paintings that tassels on the edge of the garments indicate royalty. Here's the first point. And by, well, let me go one more point. Flip it over. So, evidence from ancient Near Eastern sources. From these tomb paintings, we see the royalty wore the tassels. Therefore, the tassels indicate that the wearer is part of the aristocracy, that he's part of the upper class. Okay? And when you wore those tassels on the edges of your garments, you were telling everybody, I'm part of the upper class. What's interesting about this is, he says in verse 38, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to wear the tassels. Every Israelite was supposed to wear tassels on their garments. There is no aristocracy that's supposed to be in Israel. There isn't supposed to be any part of the where you can tell by the way people dress that they're upper class or that they're lower class. Everybody is an equal. That's an incredible thing. And especially, you're talking 4,000 years ago almost, that here is a society that's based on the equality of the people in the society. That was an absolutely revolutionary thought, that everyone was an equal. And that when they dressed and their dress showed that they were equals, that you weren't allowed to do anything different. Now, we see this principle all the way through, even into the New Testament. It's kind of interesting. The book of James talks about not treating people differently because of their money. But in Israel, these tassels, first of all, are put in a place that's going to indicate equality. Now, this all lies behind what's in this text, and we'll come to it in a moment, but it's absolutely fascinating. A second point I want to make about what these tassels indicate is that actually, how do you make everybody equal? Okay, you have two ways of making everybody equal. You have the communist way and you have the biblical way. What's the communist way of making everybody equal? You make everybody poor. You know, when everybody's poor, they're all equal. We don't have any rich. We don't have any aristocracy. We're all the proletariat. We're all the low class. We're all the, we get rid of all the middle class, the, you know, and we get rid of all the upper class, and we'll all be peasants. And so we all dress like peasants. That's why Mao Zedong would wear that little peasant hat and those incredibly ill-fitted garments that he would wear. You know, he could have looked real nice, maybe a Bruce Lee outfit, but he wouldn't do that. They all wore those gray, right? Remember the Chinese communists and all the... And their way of making everybody equal was by putting everybody down on the low class. What the Bible does is made everybody an equal by saying, you're all special. You're all royalty. It elevated everybody to a position of equality. Real fascinating concept. They could have said, we'll cut off the hems of your garments and have no hem on your garment, we'll be equal. That would be, for instance, the pilgrim way of doing things, right? The Amish way of doing things. We don't wear anything fancy, we wear the drabbest, the plainest possible garments. But that wasn't the Israelite way. Really an interesting turn of how that works. Come back to the passage again. Notice what it says. Speak to the children of Israel, in verse 38. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. What's the significance of this blue thread? Why not only tassels, but why a blue thread in the tassels? Well, first of all, you have to understand that dyeing and the colors, looking around and seeing people dressed in all kinds of different colors today seems normal. In the ancient Near East, it was very, very rare that you would see that. Wearing dyed clothing, especially clothing of special colors, was very, very expensive. And the single most expensive color to wear was this blue-violet color. The blue-violet color comes from a shell. So that little space is for the word shell. And the name of the shell, if you care, is M-U-R-E-X, murex. And they would have to take this. Have you ever opened up a seashell and in the mother of pearl section you see all kinds of different colors in the shell? Well, these are special tiny shells that only grow in certain places along the shore of the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. Very, very rare. And when you crush those up and use a special mixture to extract the color, you get this very, very, very expensive color that our Bibles call blue. We would consider it to be more of not a sky blue, but a blue-violet color. And it was the color of royalty. It was the color that only royalty could afford. In fact, in Rome, 2,000 years later, they wore togas. Their garments, their skirts were called togas, and only royalty could have that scarlet thread, that scarlet work on the edge of their toga. Nobody else could wear that. We call it the wearing of the purple. You ever heard that phrase? It indicates royalty. That's why even today in England, the Queen of England, what color is going to be on the inside of the crown? That velvet color. You know how the crowns have all the gold work? It's going to be that comes from an ancient tradition that that's the color of royalty. And that blue color indicated royalty. It indicated something special. So not only are they on the most distinctive place of their garments showing that they are all aristocracy, they're to have a single blue thread worked in on these tassels. The tassels would look like, unfortunately, green indicates white on the Smith color chart, or the Smith color blind chart, however you care to think of it. Move it out, see it better. So, here's what these tassels would look like. And woven into that is a single blue thread, one blue thread. Why one blue thread? Well, for one reason, I'm telling you, this was expensive material. Even one thread of it was very expensive. It's like silk. Silk in those days was a very, very expensive commodity. They have actually found silk threads and silk fibers in Egyptian tombs from before 1,000 years before Christ. You know what's significant about that is that silk only comes from one place in the world at that time, and that's China. That means that there were trade routes that went, the Silk Road they called it, that went from China at least as far as Egypt. And people would take those silk threads individually, and those individual silk threads would become very, very important to people because silk was stronger and finer, and you could use it for certain things. So not only the garment of silk was important, but every individual thread. Well, this particular blue thread, which I know you can't see if you're any distance away, woven through that one blue thread indicated royalty, that they were royal. There's even more to it than that, okay? I keep working my way down through. What was the significance of a mixture of white and blue? Notice it says, and to put a blue thread in the tassels, one blue thread. All the rest of the threads were white, okay? One was blue. Well, you have to understand a little bit about how clothing worked in those days, and probably still works today. I don't know much about it. But you couldn't dye most materials in those days. Most material couldn't be dyed. Even today, I know that there are some garments that are not dyed very well. They're not color fast. I know that because I have a raft of pink underwear that I had from my college days, and you know how dangerous that can be, you know. But you know what happens? Certain materials, they don't dye very well because they may have the color and look great, but as soon as you do some of the wrong thing to them, like put them in a washing machine, as it turns out, how was I to know, that all of a sudden all that dye runs all over the place. So by the end of the year, most college freshmen have all their clothes pretty much look the same, all the guys, you know. There's this bluish, reddish, yellowish kind of look to them, and, you know, it's a leveling effect on the freshman society, I suppose, as well. But you only dyed wool in this society. It was the only manufactured cloth that you could dye. So the wool was dyed. The white was linen. You didn't dye linen. So what you have here, and if I were to, let me give you the blown up tassel, all right? Let me see if I can do this. This indicates that we're using the higher power of magnification, all right? So here's your tassel. The green actually actually indicates the white linen. Because if you've ever seen linen, it's got a little bit of a sheen to it. It's white, but it's just got a little, I don't know, it's not a tint to it. It catches the light in a certain way. And woven into that was one, not only blue thread. See, this is very expensive stuff, this blue, and it gives out on you at the worst time. Blue wool. So what you have is a tassel that indicates aristocracy. It's a tassel with blue that indicates royalty, and it's a tassel that is, because it's blue and white, a mixture of wool and linen. Okay? You with me so far? The significance of the mixture of white and blue is that it's a mixture of linen and wool. Well, what's that got to do with anything? For that, you do have to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Verse 11. This comes out of last week's, while studying for last week's message. I didn't get this far, and I wanted to point this out to you. Deuteronomy 22:11. You shall not wear a garment of, here it's called different sorts. The Hebrew says an interwoven mixture. It's an interwoven mixture of threads, namely wool and linen mixed together. You are not allowed to wear wool and linen mixed together. Why not? Well, because if you, and I don't want to keep flipping you all over, because Baptists, you lose them after the second flip. There's a rule someplace. It's called the second flip rule. If you will look, who had entire garments that were made of a mixture of blue and white? Anybody remember in the Old Testament? A hat, an ephod, a belt, the priests. In order to get blue and white mixed together, he had to wear this mixture. And that was a mixture that was reserved as a symbol of the priestly office. The blue and the white woven together was your way of showing that you were a priest. Just like, what's a good example? In Scotland, the different colors of the kilts that they wear indicate what clan that you come from. Just like trying to think of other people who wear certain kinds of garments that, it, just by the very kind of garment are, they indicate their station in life. Okay, you see some guy who's wearing sequins and rhinestones and a very, very silky garment. You know that A, he's either an entertainer or he spent too much time on the commons. All right? But you assume he's an entertainer, right? All those lights are to catch, and you associate that with his profession, hopefully. And so that, well, this mixture of blue wool and linen was reserved for the priests. And so therefore they're told in Deuteronomy 22:11, you don't wear it. But I thought you said that everybody wore it on the corners of their garments. Look at the very next verse. You shall, and in the Hebrew I would have added the word however, make tassels on the four corners of your clothing. You see, Deuteronomy 22:12 is kind of the exception to Deuteronomy 22:11. Don't wear wool and linen mixed together. That's something that marks the priest, with one exception. All of you on the tassels of your garments are going to have that mixture. Now let's come back to Numbers 15 and talk about the spiritual significance of all this. If I haven't lost you completely. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the hem or the corners of their garments throughout their generations. By the way, that's why Jews still do it. Because they have been a persecuted minority, normally the religious Jew will wear these tassels underneath their clothing. They'll actually wear them in a little, I don't want you to call it, like a little undershirt with tassels that hang out there. The very religious Jews will wear them that way. But they still do them, by the way, on the prayer shawl. The prayer shawl is a mixture of blue and white and has tassels that they put over their heads when they pray. Still has this as well. and tell them to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined." The tassels reminded Israel of two things. First, they reminded Israel that they were all to be holy like the priests. That not only did God tell the priests to be holy, God said that all Israel should be holy. And so when they wore this garment that was forbidden to all but priests, one single blue thread mixed in with the white reminded them, every last one of you has at least one responsibility. You might not be like the priests in that you offer sacrifices. You might not be like the Levites or whatever, but you're all supposed to be holy. You are a holy people, every last one of you. And that's what that tassel indicated. You are wearing the garment that shows that the priests are holy, and therefore you're holy. That one little thread reminded them when they saw that. And every time you would see in ancient Israel, not today, them walking down, you can't but miss those tassels when you see that. I mean, if you wear tassels on the edge of your skirts, you can't. Little girls like to do that. They like to wear things that swing and bounce and flounce. They like to look at them. At least I've noticed that little girls, they really like that. And they like also to be noticed. And to do that, and you learn right away that you should notice them and say, "Oh, that looks so nice." And then everybody goes on from there. Well, those little things that hang down, you notice them. And the whole society had a constant reminder that we're holy. The next point, the tassels showed that all Israel were to be equal in their holiness. Remember I told you that it also indicated equality? The thing that made the Israelites equal was holiness, was the fact that God had separated them unto himself. Israelites weren't equal in how much money they made. There was never a time when all Israelites were equally poor or equally rich. There is never a time when all of God's people have been equally talented. Just ask me to sing and you'll have proof of that. There's never a time when equality has been of physical abilities. How are we equal as people? How were God's people Israel to be equal? They were equal because God had set them apart as his own people. You were all equal in that I have made you my special people. And that's what makes you equal with one another. It's holiness. And that is such an incredible thought. It runs so deep into what God wanted Israel to be. He didn't want them to look on externals. He didn't want them to look and simply to look at those garments and to say, we all dress the same, we all do the same. They were to be reminded that every last one of you is equal in this society because you all used to be slaved. And I lifted every last one of you up and I made you my children and I separated you unto myself, and that's why you're equal. You're not equal because you're all rich, or you're not equal because of anything else. You're equal because I've taken every one of you from slavery and made you into kings. And by the way, the term a kingdom of priests comes from the Old Testament. It's not only Christians who are to be a kingdom of priests, it's the Israelites who are to be kings and priests. They were all to be royalty. Now let me make the New Testament application. One, it's a principle all the way through Scripture. God's people are equals. When we come as a church together, we are all equals with one another. The New Testament word for that is brethren. You know how some people, at least to me, it's almost an affectation. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so is going to do this. The only time I use brother now is when I'm writing a very formal letter from one church to another, or so on, or when I'm disappointed and I say, "Oh, brother." But that, you know, I wasn't thinking of any brother in particular, but the whole concept is that we, like they, are equal. We don't have priests who are above us and a pope who's up there someplace. We don't have any of that. We are all equals. The New Testament thing that makes it wonderful is that we are not only having one little thread that the priests can have, and we can have a little bit of it, we're all priests in the New Testament. Every believer is a priest. It's not that we get a little bit of what the priests have to show that we're equal. We're all priests. We're equal in that every last one of us can go to God. I don't care whether it's our newest member, Lee Lovejoy, or whether it's our oldest member, and I don't know who our oldest member is. Oh, let me speak about who age-wise is our oldest member. I hate to throw this into the middle of the message, but Mrs. Steiger has been taken from the hospital, and right now she's in a nursing home in Groton. And that was a decision that she and her daughter made together. I have no idea whether that's a permanent move or whatnot, but all of you can pretty much understand that that's got to be a pretty traumatic kind of a thing, that you've had your freedom and your own place to live, and now she's recuperating. So Rachel said she tried even in the phone book to get the address, but make a point of calling Groton and making a visit to Groton and seeing Mrs. Steiger. When you do, okay, get close to her. She can't see very well. And one of the things, by the way, she told me, she said, you know, I have a hard time. I don't know any of the new people in the church because I can't see them. And so they don't get close enough, and I can't, so she can't like look around church and tell who's here and to see them. So make a point to go up and to see her and to introduce yourself. That's one sharp lady. I want to be that sharp. If I'm that sharp when I'm 88, I'm starting new projects. She is one sharp lady, but this is all an aside, but it's a big change in her life, and we can support her by making visits and calls and contacts and letting her know, because sometimes somebody moves into a nursing home and they have the idea that that's so they can be shelved, and we as a church can do something about that. But the Bible says, I don't care whether you've been saved for one day or 1,000 days. We're all equal in that we're all priests. Every last one of us can go to God. He's elevated us all to the status of being his sons. We're also royalty. We are joint heirs with his son. We don't wear tassels on the corners of our garments to show that we are his sons. Think about it for a minute. What has God given us, every last one of us, as his mark and his seal that we are his sons? It's not something on the outside, it's on the inside, and it's called the Holy Spirit. We don't wear garments on the outside to show our holiness. We don't do that. That was to show Israel in a visible way all these outward things. Now God has put the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us, I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's who I am and what I am. And that's the significance of it, that we're all equals. And we're equals because each one of us has the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why we do our voting as a church. That's why we don't have a elder board that makes all the decisions for the church. That's called Presbyterianism. We believe that everyone is equally responsible and equally able to contact God and to make decisions. We're congregational in that way. In the New Testament, it's the same principle, but a different way of working it out, because in the New Testament it becomes internal and not external. All this from the tassels on the garments and the background that comes in there, but it's really good for us to understand how these things fit together and to appreciate that that's what we call the Holy Spirit. And we are to use the Holy Spirit in the same way I think they use the tassels, that you shall remember everything the Lord tells you and you shall do it. And notice verse 41. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. He said, I didn't bring you out of the land of Egypt so that you could be free. I didn't bring you out of the land of Egypt so that you could have better homes or better life. I brought you out because I wanted to be your God. Never forget that God saved you because he wants to be your God. He didn't save you so that you could have a better style of life. He didn't save you so that you could be free to pursue your own ways. He saved you and put his Holy Spirit on you because he wants to be your God. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to show that to other people. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us and in us. I'd ask tonight that you might cause us to understand your scripture. It sometimes is so hard. It seems like there's so much to know, but it's so wonderful. It just all fits together. Bless us, Father, as we glorify you, and bless us as we show through our lives the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.